All right, well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Mansfield Christian Church. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. And as you guys know, if you've been here the last couple of weeks, which all of you have, we've been walking through this series based on Hebrews 12 of running this metaphorical race through the walk, like your walk with Christ. Now, we started with the concept and, like, where does it come from? So we explored how this is used throughout the book of Hebrews, and then Rick's favorite, talking about the analogy about running around in your birthday suit because you're supposed to shed all of your weight. And so that's where we started. We explored some of the topic as it was Paul's. Paul was using that language because he was talking to people of a Roman thing where they were doing all these games and in the Colosseums. And so then we concluded that message with the thought that the race for Christ is a marathon, not a sprint. Next, this was 2 weeks ago, we talked about the decision to run the race. Now, we're all familiar that this consists of accepting Christ, baptism, things like participating in the body or the church. And so that was 2 weeks ago. And then last week, we talked about the three C's of actually running the race. Now, if we can recall, those were commitment, contentment, and community. These are the things that we have to do to be effective runners in our race for Christ. But with that being said, friends, I'm here to tell you today that we don't have to run forever. There's a finish line in hope. Finish line coming. Eventually, we'll all cross that line and get on the podium with our Heavenly Father. Naturally, the question occurs, what does it look like? And unfortunately, I've talked to professors at Ozark that still don't even have a definitive answer. We don't know. But through some study of Scripture, I got to see a pretty cool way of looking at it. And so I think I can give some expectations, things that we might be able to expect once we cross the metaphorical finish line. So the title of my sermon today is Completing the Race. So we're gonna walk through some characteristics found in the book of Hebrews. And so the first characteristic is that it is permanent. We get this out of Hebrews 11, verse 12. It says, "For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." Let's chew on this for a minute, gang, right? These foundations are metaphorically talking about the foundations we talked about the prior week. The community, the commitment, the things that we talked that we need to build our foundations for our relationship with. These are the same foundations that are being talked about in the book of Hebrews here. We also see that this is a city built and designed by God. It's not one built by man or by angels or by the devil. It's built by God. I can only imagine how beautiful this place will be based on the creativity of our God. When we see the things in the world and the nature and how beautiful things are, just imagine what he's built for us when we get to that day. Now, this is pretty interesting to me, though, this word of foundation, because I've poured house foundations before. I've worked in construction. And a foundation has to be strong enough to support everything that's with it. And so I think one thing we can be assured of is that if God created this foundation, it is strong. This city will support all of us. And I think that this should bring us joy in knowing that it exists for us to get to someday. The finish line is real. And through Jesus, the barrier has been removed so we can actually cross the line. The next point here, the next thought is that it is our homeland. Now, this comes from Hebrews 11, 14 through 16, and it says, "People who say much things show that they are looking for a community of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Now, you know how much I love my historical background, and so when I was researching this, this is actually an allusion to the Israelites leaving Egypt, running away from slavery, and God saying if they had had their mind, they could have just went back. The Egyptians would have taken them back, and they could have went back to slavery, but they're pursuing this land that God had promised them. They're looking forward to the things, the city that God had prepared for them. In our case, we're looking forward to the city in heaven that God has prepared for us. Now, don't miss this, that they could have just went back, but yet they keep on pushing forward to the changes in their life. And I think that they, with that being said, they also had their eyes focused on God. And it says, thus they are not ashamed God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now, I don't know about you guys, but for me, there's no better feeling to know that when my earthly father's not disappointed in me, the same way that you would love to have your heavenly father not disappointed in me. I mean, I can remember my dad was an old farmer, and he was kind of not very good at being emotional or whatnot, but I remember when I graduated basic training, that was the first time he told me he was proud of me, and that was a big monumental moment in my life. It gave me a feeling of joy and hope. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love for someday, you know, my walk with God, for him to say, you know what, I'm proud of you for all the things that you're doing as you're walking with me. Now, this is cool too, because if you look at it like this, an illustration that I like for this is, if we go on, like you go on a vacation, right? You go to a new place, and you might be there for a week or two, and you're staying in a cabin, and it's home for those 2 weeks, but it's not your real home. You still desire that day that you get to go back to your real house, open the door, go sit on your couch, and you get that, whew, I'm home feeling. I think this is how we're going to feel on that day that we get to go to heaven and get to our permanent home. This feeling of no more traveling, no more doing this, no more doing that. It's the opportunity to say, phew, I'm home for the very last time. And the next observation is that it is forever. This comes from Hebrews 12, 22 through 29. And it says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteousness made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word from the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks, and they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth. How much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. This is created sayings, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving the kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, this text, I think, provides us with a few key insights for looking at heaven. First, we'll see that we'll be greeted with angels who are in a joyful assembly. They're going to be happy that we're there. Now, me being an introvert, I'm not too excited about a huge, joyful assembly with a bunch of people. I'd rather just kind of like, woohoo, you made it, and just get my card and go in. But, you know, hey, it can be fun to hang out as a gang, as a group. You know, it can be fun every once in a while. And then the next, we get an offer of promise. The promise is that when we get there, we will not be turned back because we've accepted Christ here on earth. We've made the decision. Now, I was thinking about this, and I was talking to Dylan, and we got a good chuckle because I was thinking about this with this whole coronavirus thing. Like, you have to have a mask everywhere, and I don't know about any of you, but I've definitely went places, realized I didn't have my mask, and got turned away. And they said, no, you can't come in here because you're not wearing the mask. How good is it that we know as long as we follow Jesus and love God with all of our heart, we'll never be turned away. So that's a good point for me to think about. And the third point is we are promised to not be shaken because our foundation is firm in the Lord. Now, when I was thinking about this, I'm from northern Missouri, and we get a lot of tornadoes. In fact, we had a tornado warning in Joplin yesterday, and the sirens were sounding, and my gosh, what a day in February, the tornado sirens, who would have thought? And so, you know, when those things are built, they have to be really strong to withstand the shaking winds, withstand the hail, the funnel cloud, the destruction that's in its way. And so I can only imagine what it's going to feel like when the shaking comes, and yet we have our tornado shelter built by God that is saying, I'm here to protect you from all of the storm, all of the wrath, everything that's coming. You're safe with me. And then lastly, we are told to rejoice in prayer and sound. So this is pretty much just kind of, for me, just kind of instruction for us to finish strong as we run the race. We need to not forget to worship as a group, to sing, to pray, to spend time together in community. And we also need to remember that prayer is an important part of our running as we go along the race. And I think it's also important to note here that we have been given the ability to cross the finish line through the decisions we make as well as the life we live. Don't forget that every little decision might be the same as trying to run with your shoes untied. One wrong step and you're falling on your face. Remember, reading scripture, praying, meeting in community is like taking something as simple as tying your shoes so you don't fall during the race, metaphorically speaking, of course. And it's also, I like this point because we have to remember we receive so much, but we have to give very little. Jesus gave everything, so we had to give little, right? We had to just make a decision. He is the one who suffered, went through all of the pain for us to be able to cross this finish line. He's the one who took that giant wall that was sitting on the finish line and pushed it out of the way so we could stroll right on through. And so I got some of my sermon ideas from a professor this week, and I had no idea about illustration, so he set me up with a really good joke. So if you guys don't laugh, you can blame him, and I won't be the blunt of the joke. And so he told me there was a teacher, and there was a group of kids with him, and it was in a Sunday school classroom setting, and he's talking to the kids, and he says, if I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale, and gave all my money to the church, would that get me into heaven? He asked the children in Sunday school class. No, the children all answered. He said, if I clean the church every day, mowed the yard and kept everything neat and tidy, would that get me into heaven? Again, the answer was no. He said, well, then if I was kind to animals and gave candy to all the children and loved my wife, would that get me into heaven? Once more, they all emphatically answered no. He said, well, I continued thinking. They were a good bit more theologically sophisticated than I had given them credit for. So I decided to ask, then how can I get into heaven? A 5-year-old boy shouted, you gotta be dead. So that was the funny joke that he shared with me. So in conclusion, I think that we should be joyful in knowing that one day we will be going to heaven to rejoice. And so, like, with that thought, we should rejoice in death instead of mourning it. We should look forward to that one day that we get closer to meet our Heavenly Father instead of being sad that one day we're going to leave this temporary home to go to our permanent home. Along with that, this place will be permanent, and one day we will all be home. Thank you.